Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Today, I want to talk about the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Let me cut to the chase so you can work backwards. Grace, which is unmerited and undeserved favor, is the gospel. The word gospel generally means almost too good to be true news. You know, like someone tells you something and then you slap them. Who was that in the Bible? You remember that lady? Yeah, the Shunammite woman. She had been without a child, and then Elisha is like, by this time next year you will carry a child. And she's like, do not lie to me. I mean, because this was Elisha, she couldn't slap him. But it's that kind of thing. Someone tells you something like, Mpitako. As in, don't play around with my emotions. So I don't know what that is for you. For people who've been married sometime and you've been trying to have a child. Some people went to a clinic because they thought the lady was sick. So they did all sorts of tests, except one, the pregnancy test. Because you know when you've prayed for something and you are past praying, you're like, we have accepted how things are. Okay? So let's keep it like that. And then I don't know what occurred to them. Say, oh, I don't know whether it was the doctor. Said, let us also do a pregnancy test. You're displaying signs of... Okay. So when they did a pregnancy test and it was positive, we need a confirmatory test. Because they had gone past the stage of waiting. They were like, this is no longer something we are talking to God about. Yeah, they were in the final stages of adoption. So I don't know what it is for you. For some people, the gospel would be a tall, dark, handsome hunk. I stay around here asking you out. Tall, dark, handsome, rich, spiritual, church planter who sings in the choir. Asking you out and, you know, saying, can we have another coffee? Can we now go for a meal? That's this section. I'm a bit fearful. Anyway, so for some people, that will be almost too good to be true, especially if you are not 21. You know, when you're 21, you're a specialist in knifing guys. Everyone who tries to talk to you, evaluate what, talk to all your girlfriends. Oh, this guy is also trying to ask me out. I don't know why he thinks that I'm his type. You're always telling guys how you're not their type. I'm not his type. I'm not his type. 22, 23, 24, 25. Once you get on the other side of 25, you start being the type for a few more. The prayer requests become more intense. Season 21, we know what you're praying for. 28 29. When your friends want to do for your 30th birthday celebration, you are like, Lord, if he can walk and chew without falling, I'll take him. So by the time you're 35, anyone who comes and says, baby, you're like, yes, honey. It's like, we haven't said anything yet. I mean, I was just singing a song. You can't sit. So for some people, that's the gospel. Other people, you made some decisions along the way. Before you knew it, your date has several zeros on it. And you are running from one lender to another. You borrow from Peter to PayPal. You are like, and if someone comes and says, you know, we've noticed you have this debt issue. Oh yeah, HMC has blacklisted you. And then someone comes and says, you know, here is 500 million to offset all the troublesome issues and to help you restart in any other way you need to. And please let me know if you need more. Aya, any more from Uncle Mo? That can be almost too good to be true news. For some people, maybe you or someone you love has got a diagnosis that has a clock on it. Like it's counting down. And they've been told, this person may not make it past this. And we've had a few of those in this church where people come back and say, they cannot find any trace of the sickness. That's almost too good to be true news. And it varies, you know, different things, workplace, health, financial, marriage, children, name it. Or you may be there minding your business and you get an email and it's not from Nigeria. It's not a priest. And maybe it's from a trusted source. Like, you have an inheritance. Yeah, these documents reveal that you're a partaker of this. I mean, it can be anything. You know, as human beings, we are so used to hard life that all the things I'm talking about, they are like in cartoons only. They are not. There are things we stopped expecting. There are things we think they happen in the cartoon world. But by definition, you can sit down. By definition, that's what the gospel would be. In terms of just defining the word gospel. Are we now together? So now enter Jesus. And they said the news about him is the gospel. That the news about Jesus is better than everything I have been trying to describe in the last 5 minutes. And then the question becomes, when you heard about him, or when you hear about him, or when you tell others about him, does it actually sound that good? And if it doesn't, what did we miss? What did we miss? Are we together? Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Let's start there and we'll find our way. He says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, separated to the message of the gospel. And then he says something next, which he promised, who promised? God, before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the whole Old Testament is talking about something, although you can't see it with it, obviously. Now, in verse 3 is when he reveals it. He says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. In other words, the gospel, the almost too good to be true news, is about a person. It's about a person. His name is Jesus. He says, Paul says, I was separated from the gospel of God, which was promised in the scriptures. And this gospel of God is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow. What care you? You know, last week I told you I tried to apply for this radio job and I'm still suffering from the effects of it. The one I want to sing, I can't handle that key. C for now. So concerning one singer, Richard Smallwood, sang the song, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the hope of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. So I just remember that song. When I think about the gospel is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, when you've grown up in church, been to Sunday school, been to youth group, served in the choir, the ushers, and everything there is, you can go to a point where it's as if you are immunized against the name of Jesus. It no longer means anything. It's a bit like when you've been married a long time. If you are not careful, you can get to a point where there is a time kills passion. Unless you do some things. Amen. And the mistake people make is to think, if I switch the passion will last. And then you realize again, time kills passion. It doesn't matter whether you switch the person or not. But in Christ, it's the same thing. That's why it always seems like the gospel is always appealing to people who haven't been in church a long time. And it's almost resisted, rejected, and offensive to people who have been in church a long time. Even in the days of Jesus, there was a group of people called the Pharisees. They had been in church a long time and the gospel was offensive to them. And there was another group called Sadducees. Sadducees. And for you and I, because we've been in church, some of us, a long time, we have to be careful to not get to a point where even the worship, during the praise and worship, it doesn't matter what they are singing, it's not touching us. Maybe that's why you want to come a little later. Because the passion is not there. Why? We've lost sight of the gospel. We've lost sight of the gospel. Or we think that the gospel is something that it actually is not. Because most religious people have this idea in their minds that there is a God who has demands that need to be fulfilled in order for him not to hurt you. Like God is like an angry mad woman. And so, the more we talk about God, the more you see anger and restrictions. You think God is just a person who is out to restrict you and suck all the joy out of your life and say, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other, don't. And you evaluate and say, do I want to be a friend to such a person? And sensibly you say, no. But then you think, even if I don't want to be his friend, there's just the issue of heaven and hell. So I'll stick around for purposes of heaven and avoiding hell, but otherwise I will not engage much. Yeah, because I'm not sure I want that. And that's how the enemy steals your destiny. When the best friend you could ever have in this life and the one after is always calling out to you, but you had the wrong news. Are we together? Now, I'm going to break up this message into two. So this is part one. Part A, next Sunday will be part B. Because obviously from the clock and what I'm seeing here, we will not make it. And next Sunday, just so that you come back with a friend. Next Sunday, I'm going to be telling you about the advantages of the gospel. Next Sunday, we'll be dealing with the good stuff in it. But let's first understand it. Now, we are not the first generation of believers who have struggled with this. There are others in a place called Galatia, and Paul writes to them in very strong language. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. 1, 2, we go. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Then he repeats in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is writing to the Galatians. The Galatians were people who started off well. They received Christ. They were joyful in him. Things were going well. And then some people come and say, you know what? This whole thing of someone just confessed Christ, they think they're a righteous person, is not enough. We've looked in the scriptures and they should at least circumcise. Kale, you're thinking, Kale, circumcision. What's the connection? But you know, circumcision was just the tip of the spear, because with it then would come other things. Okay, circumcision. Okay, now also, no pork. That's how you lose all the faithful in Uganda. Who has left the group? Chisa season. And then you start piling up the rules. And you know, because of our upbringing, we are familiar with the Ten Commandments. But they are not only 10. There's a whopping 613 laws in the Bible that you should keep continually if you're going to relate with God based on keeping the law. And I can guarantee you that everyone in this room has broken at least one of them in the last 24 hours. Including the Sabbath, which was yesterday. The SDA guys are true. Mercy, Lord. So these Galatians, they started well, then they said, no, you have to circumcise. No, you have to do this, you have to do this. They say, before you know it, it's a burdensome experience to relate with God because of all the stuff that has been shipped in when faith alone is no longer enough. Faith in Christ. Now, let me show you something. You want me to show you? You want me to show you? Now, there were two, Paul wrote to many people, but there were two really contrasting fellows that he wrote to. Because usually people respond to the gospel, the sensible ones, they respond in a certain way by faith. But there are two groups which respond negatively. One group responds with legalism of, no, it can't be that simple. The rules are here. And then one group responds with, what? You mean I can do anything and get away with it? Chikube. Then they respond with permissiveness. They live like they are not Christians. Yeah. If you took them to a court of law accusing them of being a Christian, you wouldn't find enough evidence. So in the Bible, those were the Corinthians. Now, let me show you how Paul starts his letter to the Corinthians. You know, Paul's letters were deep. The greeting alone was... Yeah, in Ephesians, he greets from verse 1 to 14. By the time he's done with the greeting, you're like... I'm looking for a miracle. Now, look what he tells the Corinthians. Now, the Corinthians, he was writing, addressing serious issues. We will not reach there. Division, sexual immorality, idolatry, strife, lawsuits, drunkenness in church. Corinth was Corinth. But see how he starts Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Are you reading? To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I mean, if you were in Corinth and you started receiving this letter, you would know that later on the guy is going to start boiling. The way the greeting starts, you're like, ah, this is so lovely. This guy loves us. Let's continue. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See what he starts telling them. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. He's talking about them, concerning you. The grace of God given to you. I'm grateful for you. Look what he says next. These are guys who are committing some hectic sins in church. Yeah? And he's going to address them. But see how he starts. That you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, if this was a personal letter to you, and you know it's come from a very important person, like the Archbishop or someone, and they are writing to you, and you'll be like, ha, you'll be like, I didn't know all this about myself. Wow. Then in verse 10, he starts addressing the issues. Now, I plead with you, brethren, But that you all speak the same thing. There have been no divisions among you. So he's starting to address the issues, and he addresses issues all the way to chapter 14. One after another, one after another, one after another. But see how we began. A whole 9 verses of just affirmation. Now, the guys in Galatia were not like the guys in Corinth. They hadn't done all the bad things that the Corinthians were doing. In fact, on the balance of things, if you're a pastor, you'd prefer to pastor the Galatians than the Corinthians. Honestly, pastors, let's agree. If you've read Corinthians chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, would you want to pastor those people? No. Be like, I'll die of a heart attack pastoring these guys. Now look at the Galatians. They hadn't done anything wrong, really. The only thing they had done is to say, circumcision. Yeah, to be saved. Which, by the way, is also good for your health. For the gentlemen only. Thought that was a good place to squeeze that in. Let's go back to the text. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle not from men, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. He doesn't name them. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You realize he hasn't included them yet. It's like we the brethren who are writing to you, this is our experience. Look what happens next. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you, pervert the gospel of Christ. I say, if anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. This is verse 8. He's already pronouncing curses. Verse 9, he repeats the curse. By the time he reaches chapter 3, he's talking about witchcraft. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that should not obey the truth? Wow. Can you imagine the attitude of Paul towards people who have enjoyed the benefits of salvation by faith, and then they start saying, but it's not enough? I think you should also include this, and also this, and also that. Now, for the record, I'm not saying that when you're born again, by grace, you should live the way you want. No. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, don't get the cart and put it in front of the horse and expect progress. Because many times we give the impression that to have a relationship with God, you must behave a certain way. And that your behavior is what gives you access to God, which is not true. What gives you access to God is believing the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And once you have access to God, he will start working on your behavior. Didn't you hear the testimony we just had from Marua? Are you with me? So what's up? Why isn't the good news about Jesus Christ still very pleasant in our ears? Because we have veered away from what it is. Did you see what Paul says there? He says, I marvel that you are so soon turning away from what? From him who called you where? In the grace of Christ to a different gospel. If it's not concerning the grace of Christ, it is a different gospel. For the record, all the people who are sinning already know they are sinners. No one needs faith to know that they are a sinner. You can't tell them you are a sinner. They say, me? What a shock. I need to believe that. I need time to believe that. No, everyone knows. It is the other side which is requires faith. You are the righteousness of God. Huh? La voix? La voix? Are you other? Huh? Who are they talking about? You start looking around who they are addressing. Why? Because it requires faith. Anyway, what to do? Acts 20:24. Are we going to read loudly? What does it say? But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Could I have some more sound in the monitors, please? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Once you remove the grace of God, which is an earned, unmerited, undeserved favor, you are no longer in the gospel. I would like to welcome the members of Quietness Presbyterian Church who have joined us this morning. Let me repeat it. Look, these are not my ideas. They're in the Bible. Even me, I grew up in church and I never knew all this stuff. I thought God is angry and do everything you can to avoid him until you die when you have to go to heaven. But it says that I may finish my what? My race with joy and the ministry I receive, which is what? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. If it's not the grace of God, it's not a gospel. Because then what are you telling me? You're telling me that I have to measure up to God's demands. And the whole nation of Israel, who had very disciplined people called Pharisees, failed. How about Ugandans? You don't even have a written history. I want to suggest to you that the Jews are much more disciplined than you. And if they failed to keep God's law, you will fail to keep God's law. That's why the writer says in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. If you're looking to be in the right standing with God, once you come to Christ, the law is over. He says in Romans 3, I believe it's verse 18 or 19. I'm preaching better than you're listening. 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Next verse, please. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is the purpose of the law? That every mouth may be, all those who are going to say, you know, without the law, it's about comparison. I'm better than this person. I pray better than you. I pray longer than you. I fast twice a week, you fast once on Wednesday. I give more than you. I treat my wife better than you. I take care of orphans and you don't. I serve in the choir and you don't. I don't drink and you do. I don't smoke and you do, except fish. So that's what it is. Comparison. Everyone has their own measure of righteousness, and their measure of righteousness is dependent on other people's levels of righteousness. And then they throw the law in the picture. Boom. All 613. And you realize, once you start looking at the law, you're like, is there any other way to be saved? This is not possible. This can't be done. You know, it's a bit like if we did a short exercise and say, we are not going to do it, but imagine, and say, everyone, maybe you each nominate like 12 people here, and there's jumping. No, actually, let's do it. I need 12 people who are keen and willing to jump. That excludes Pastor Mali. Just come up here. Come on the stage. I want us to see who can jump the highest. Okay, these are enough. Are we ready? I need the beat for jumping. I will be doing like 1, 2, 3 and jump. 1, 2, 3 and jump. You people, you are the judges. You tell me who jumped highest. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, who jumped highest? Where's my wallet? I need to give out a prize to the highest jumper. Ian. Ian. Are you sure? The people have voted. That's 20k. Now, I have another prize of 2 million shillings. Yeah. But this time it's not for jumping highest. The person must jump and touch hey guys, where are you going? You must touch the truss. No, jumping, not climbing. You people don't want money. You don't want my money. Okay, you can go and sit. And there are some people who still want to try. Now. let's appreciate them. What I just did is a picture of the law. You know, when I'm saying, let's see who can jump higher than the other, everyone is willing to give it a shot. Who can live a more righteous life than another? You give it a shot. Until we say, here are the 613 laws in the book of Leviticus and Exodus, and the prize is life. to get life. You see, did anyone want to try? No. But in the church, people are trying. They still think they can get life through the law. Christ is the end of the law. So all these people, if I brought here, you know those forklifts, all those contraptions we use, like when you want to clean this place, there's a thing, you just pump and it takes you up all the way. That would be like Christ. He's the end of the law. So you just stand on the thing. It's like a lift. And you go all the way. Now imagine that thing is there. And some people are still insisting on trying to jump. Or what others do, they say, no. Let me get on the thing. But I will also be jumping while the thing is going up. You know, you may fall off. I want to participate. Those are people who, when they are shifting and they sit in the back of the truck with their property, then they decide, this is too easy. Let me at least carry the microwave. So that it looks like I did something. Yeah, church is full of such people. You try to tell them, Christ, God loves you. Your sins are forgiven. He has healed you. He has provided for all your needs. He wants to bless you. They're like, me? What must I do? You know, when Peter, they asked him, what must we do? He said, believe. Believe. What's wrong? What's believing? Believing is believing. It's accepting that the thing they are telling you is true. If they come and tell you your team has won, you believe. You don't have anything to do with the result. Are we together? Unmerited, unearned. Look at Psalm 512. What does it say? For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Can you imagine walking around favored? I'm walking in favor. I'm walking miracles. You understand that? Friends, this is the gospel. You may have been in church for 28 years and you've been told so many things, and mostly you've ignored them to keep your sanity. But this is the gospel. You know, sometimes I wonder why people, sometimes, not this church, but in some other places, people in church are not successful at all. Because they are working uphill. At least the people in the world, they don't have something to be guilty about. They're like, me, I don't believe and I don't care. I'll just do my work, do my business. When you come to church, people think God is against them. So now it's a problem. The one who is supposed to be helping you, you think is resisting you. So that's why such things, as if people who are not in church seem to be sometimes more successful than the people in church, which should never, ever, 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 ever happen. Because you are surrounded by favor. How can a person who is surrounded by favor be doing poorer than a person who has no favor working in their life? We are the ones who are carrying the blessing. Go back and look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those guys, they carry the blessing. There is no way anyone in the neighborhood would do better than them. Because the blessing works. Are we together? Hey. Let me show you something. John 1:14. Next Sunday, I'm coming back with 10 advantages of grace. For now, I'm just showing you that grace is the gospel. In Galatians, he says, you are turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Paul writes and says that I may finish my race to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Remember where we started in Romans chapter 1? The gospel concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Now I was going to show you John 1:14. Why do I feel like I'm making progress? A lot of it. It's just that some people are shell-shocked. They are there sitting wondering, huh? What has happened to our pastor? Your pastor has always been like this. I just needed to come and remind you. You see, when I stand here and I tell you I'm the most loved person in the world, do you think I'm just talking? I believe it with all my heart. Yeah, there is no way God cannot be loving me more than you. And as a result, everything works for me. Everything. The good, the bad. There is nothing in my life that does not move me forward and upward. Nothing. Yeah. That's what it is. And I believe it. Because I believe in the love of God. Yeah. I believe that even if I'm going through a difficulty, I know that God knows it and He loves me enough to think that going through it is what I need to go through. Yeah. Like those, they told Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to your thing because our God will save us. And then they said, even if He does not, we will not, because we know that that's how He will have loved us. Did you know that in Hebrews 11, some people chose death by faith? They chose to be sown into, stoned to death. It is by faith. Remember, faith is a positive response to what God has done by grace. So they perceive that as, this is our lot. This is what we want. No one ever does anything by faith without wanting it. Those who were sown into, that's what they wanted. The people who were being persecuted in Rome by Nero, being fed to wild animals. Do you know they were fighting each other to go first? Guys would fight literally to go and be eaten by lions. Yeah, they are like, I cannot lose this opportunity. What did they know that we don't in our generation? But I'm here to reintroduce you to the gospel. And there's someone here, maybe you've struggled with loving God. You hear people talking about God and the kind of relationship they have with Him, and you're like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I feel like that about God? Do you know what? 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. If you want to really love God, just be thinking about His love for you and you'll automatically love God. Yeah, we love Him because He first loved us. You don't love God by loving God. You love God by receiving God's love for you. You are like the moon that simply reflects the light from the sun. You don't have any light of yours to give. I'm preaching better than you're listening. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Christ. That was Jesus. Amen. He was full of what? Now, let me try a different example. I almost called up Pastor Mali, but then I realized that's not what I'm looking for exactly. Let me get one of the worshippers. Chokas, Andra, okay, come. Hey, don't run. Now, Christ was full of grace and truth. Okay? Imagine this is Christ. Now, walk. Walk. Stay there. I'm going to call you. You know, John looks and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why? Because he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth will counterbalance any sin in your life and eliminate it. You don't get rid of darkness by trying to get rid of darkness. You get rid of darkness by switching on the light. You don't get warm by trying to get warm. You get warm by coming near the fireplace. So let's say this is Jesus walking on the earth, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. If the person is full of grace and truth, is there any room left for anything else? It means that what are you looking at? Because it says the law was given through Moses, John 1:17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So as Jesus is walking, what are you looking at? You know, in this church we are allowed to use our brain. Eh? I know you may have been somewhere where they say, don't think about it, just believe. No, here I'm saying, think about it before you believe. So as Christ is walking, because grace and truth came in person. Grace and truth was in a person, was personified. Am I making sense? And says he was full of grace and truth. Yeah, like if you get a cup of tea and it is full of tea, you can't add beans into it. Or whatever you want to add in tea. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, I'm sure you've thought about it. Now, do you remember what Romans 1 said? The gospel is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So if the gospel is concerning Christ, it also means the gospel is concerning grace and truth. Have you understood? So you can't talk about the gospel without talking about grace. The unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor of God. That you can live through this life knowing you're loved, you're favored. Someone is fighting for you. You are not alone. Even when you go into your room and you're by yourself in the evening, you know, I may be here by myself in terms of human relationships, but I'm not alone. I'm not alone in that exam room. I'm not alone in that clinic. I'm not alone in that classroom. I'm not alone. You are not alone. You are with him, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. One last scripture and we go. Colossians 1, verse 3 to 6. I know you are understanding the message. This, guys, you know what? The day you believe this thing, it will change your life permanently without recovery. There is no recovery plan from the gospel once you believed it. Yeah. I've told you that the story many times. I told you the story how our marriage was quite stinky. For 3 years, it was terrible. I wondered why I got married. I was like, who came up with marriage? Isn't there any other way of fulfilling these passions without being married? What a shock. Man, it was hard. It was painful. I cried. Yeah, big boys don't cry, but I cried. Until we started doing the discipleship evangelism course and found out how loved we are, how forgiven we are. Without doing anything, our marriage went from darkness to light just by itself. No counselors, no arguments, nothing. The gospel. We've seen miracle after miracle after. You know why? Because God loves us and we believe it. Now, let's. I told you I was finishing. I'm finishing. We give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you had before, let's go. In the word of the truth of the gospel which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Have you connected the dots? First, the gospel brings forth fruit. So next week I'm going to tell you 10 big advantages of grace. But what I want you to see is this, he says, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Then when you go through verse 6, which has come to you, also the world bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Have you seen that? You heard the word of truth in the gospel. Since you heard the grace of God in truth, it's the same thing. The gospel and the grace of God are the same thing. Because when it comes to you relating with God, when it comes to sinful you in your flesh, relating with a holy God, the only true good news can be that he has forgiven your sins. Have you ever had a debt of money? How is it usually meeting your creditor? What if when they invite you to a party to their house? What about if you are on the same team in church? You are both autos. How does the relationship work? Does it work? The only good thing about a relationship between you and a creditor is when the debt is paid. That's the only good news. Like, forget being invited to birthday parties, whatever, all that. It's never good news to say that they have invited you. There's a party at so and so's friend, and you know you owe them 30 million. You're not going to enjoy that party. You will come late and leave early. And the party is supposed to be a good thing. What is the only good news between you and the person who you owe money? The clearance of the debt. Now, the problem with the debt of sin is that you can't pay it. Yeah. You can't pay it. So, the creditor decided to pay it himself by his son, Jesus Christ. And he sends you the message and says, that debt is forgiven. Come to the party. Come get the things you need. Let us be friends. Amen. Let's stand and close this service. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Can you just give him praise? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Appreciate God for what he has done for us. Our debt is paid. Our sins are forgiven. Our sicknesses are healed. Our families are reconciled. There is nothing pending. The price is paid. So thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that no matter where we are in our walk, in our lives, you have given Christ as the payment for our sins, that we can come in and be your children, and that by and by you're making our lives better and better. So we bless you, we thank you. And so friends, if you're here or you're one of our hosting centers or one of the locations, or you're alone online and you've never given your life to Jesus, God is inviting you, saying the debt is paid. There is no need to fear, no need to stay away, no need to keep a distance. The debt is paid. And I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray for me, I want to give my life to Jesus, just put your hand up until I've seen it. Don't put it down until I've seen it. And I'll pray with you. Thank you for that hand. I see it. Someone else, be bold. Be strong. God loves you. God has favored you. Anyone else, you're saying, pray for me. You can come here where I am. I want to shake your hand and pray for you. God bless you. Just stand with her. God bless you. Just come. Hey, let's appreciate a bold sister. Someone else. upstairs, downstairs, you can come. Come. The invitation is on. God bless you, my brother. The debt is paid. The debt of sin is paid. Someone else, just keep coming. At all the other locations, there's a pastor at the front, so you can walk to them wherever they are. Just keep coming. I don't expect anyone to be walking around except if you're coming to get saved, to give your life to Jesus. Come, 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 come. Let's appreciate them as they are coming. I'm seeing people moving, which also means people are coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, the overwhelming. Sing all the overwhelming. Bless you. Anyone else? You can ask your neighbor. Some people, they may feel like it's too far. It's too far. Tell them, I will take you there. In this church, during the altar call, we all support Liverpool. Only during the altar call. Yeah. After altar call, you go back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's too risky to stay there. If, tell them, you will never walk alone. Let me walk with you. Let me walk with you. Oh, yes. The love of God compels us. You're welcome, my brother. You're welcome. Anyone else? Keep coming. These bold people have shown us the way. How to do it. I see someone coming. Keep coming. From upstairs, I'm waiting for you. Come and receive Jesus. There is no shadow. God bless you. Mountain, you want to climb up, coming after me. Yeah, they stop more than you want to take down. Now you want to tear down, coming after me. There is no shadow,
there's no shadow you want to climb up. Mountain, you want to climb up,
coming after me. There's no
you want to tear down.
There is no shadow.
No shadow you won't light up.
Mountain you won't
climb up.
Coming after me. Oh, there's no wall you won't tear down. Coming up. Sit again. There's no shadow. Everybody. Thank you, Father, for today, for these wonderful brothers and sisters. Amen. Look, today it looks like the people this side of the auditorium prayed for salvations. I don't know about. Did you pray for salvation this time? Where are your people? This half. Are you doing the work of evangelism? Okay, rejoice with those who rejoice. Brothers and sisters, you're welcome to the love of Jesus. Just pray this prayer after me. Just pray what I pray. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today.
Today.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I receive your love for me.
I receive your love.
I receive forgiveness.
I receive forgiveness.
I receive all the benefits of salvation.
I receive all the benefits of salvation.
I acknowledge you.
I acknowledge
as my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
And today.
today.
I start a new life with you.
I start a new life with
a
you.
A great adventure.
A great adventure.
In this life.
In this life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Filled with your Holy Spirit.
That I may serve you.
That I may serve you.
All my days.
All my days.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have we celebrated them? Now, I need you to go with this brother here. Just over there. Inside the room. We just want to take your names so that we can be praying for you in person, and we'll even call you back to see how you're doing. Is that okay? Let's just go. Pastors, can we go with them so they are not alone? Oh, oh, there's no shadow you won't lie at, mountain you won't climb at, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Yes, sing that for yourself.
No shadow you won't lie at,
for yourself.
Mountain you won't climb at, coming after me.
There is no wall you won't kick down. So Father, thank you for your children, my brothers and sisters here. I pray blessing upon them. Open their hearts. Open our hearts to know, to believe, to know, to receive the love of God in Christ. That you'll make our lives lives of distinction because of the light of Christ's gospel. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may know these things, that we may walk with you, that we may walk in power, in authority, and that we may be a blessing to all the people that you have sent our way. I rebuke every kind of sickness, every condition, every oppression of the enemy that may be masquerading in these people's lives. In the name of Jesus, we cast it out and we declare freedom from every influence of the enemy. We thank you because we know you're doing it and you've done it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Are there people who would like to start a mission or community this week? I want to give you a chance. I want to pray for you even as we close. You're like, you know what? I want to start a mission or community so I can disciple and shepherd God's people. Jesus asked Peter and said, you love me? He said, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. That's one of the ways we love God, by taking care of others. Amen. So anyone, I'm not scared, and we have time. The invitation is open. MC starters. Oh, we have a new mission or community shepherd right here. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else is coming. Oh, the overwhelming, breathless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. Is someone else coming? I need to pray. Let's climb for a new shepherd. A new shepherd. Ah, no, this one is the overseer. Come, come, come. Come and receive the people. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Zona pastors. We have some location pastors from other places in the room. You are. Can you move this way? Let me have some location pastors come and lay your hands on these powerful men and women. Man and women of God. Why did I say men? Are there more people supposed to be coming? They are starting missional communities. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your children who are deciding to serve others. We commit them to you. Anoint them mightily. Give them wisdom. May they never lack any good thing,
oh, yes,
in Christ Jesus for the ministry to which you're calling them. We commission them that they will succeed and that their flocks shall multiply and increase, and they shall give birth to many missional communities, and that their disciples will become mature believers,
yes,
walking with Christ and serving others. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate them? Go with this lady. She's going to show you what to do. You can pick your bag and then follow her. Thank you for coming today. Our first-time guests would like to have a drink with you. You'll go through this door as everyone is going out. Everyone else, thank you for coming. God bless you. What youth experience is coming up at 11:30, and we are blessed. 11:30, 11:40. Amen. So, Father, thank you for your children. We bless them. May this be an amazing week of miracles, signs, wonders, victories, wisdom, acceleration in every area of their lives. We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke sickness, attacks on their physical health, and anything like that. We say it shall not succeed. Thank you for their families. We shall hear good news from their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. We're taking